Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministry is thriving. Stay tuned and focused. And let Word of Life minister to you. We are pastor and worship open seat.
Thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace, your power. We thank you, Lord, for the people of God. We thank you, Lord God, for the love that you've given us, that you've bestowed on us, that we become sons of God. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would touch everyone, each one, every individual in this place, God, that you would see to their problems and their pains and that you would heal them. Father, that you would heal all hurt and that you would soothe all doubts and calm all fears. Father, in Jesus' name, we know that you're real. We know down on the inside of us, Lord God, for you've done wonders among us. And we thank you, Lord God, for just waking us up and giving us another opportunity to show you the praise and give you honor and glorify your name because you're definitely worthy. You're worthy, God. Father, I thank you right now for the healing of the land. Thank you, Lord God, for the deliverance of your people. Thank you, Lord, for the prosperity of your loved ones, your beloved children of God. We thank you, Lord, for the leading of your spirit, the power of your word, the authority and the power that's in the blood of Jesus. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own, and we thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. Hallelujah. Lord, we know the earth is yours and the fullness thereof and all of us that dwell therein. We thank you, Lord. Father, just have your way in this place today. Have your way in this place, in our lives, in our bodies. Lord, we want to present ourselves a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We thank you, Lord. Father, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue today be as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I prepare the hearts of the hearers as the tablet in which it should write upon the word of faith. The word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace, prosperity to all that hear and believe. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've anointed me to preach and that you've anointed the hearers to hear. And Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves in a prophetic way, that moves in a way on us, Lord God, that shakes us and causes us to line up with your word. Father, we thank you now. We thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, that you thought enough of us, Lord God, to rain down on us the blessings of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. And Father, after you healed and delivered, set free, blessed people, given them a word, strengthened them, and done all that you want to do in this service for each one of us that have separate needs, but you'll do it all today at the same time. We'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. We'll magnify your name. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy, God. That you're holy. That you're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. We pray in the matchless, mighty, and miraculous name of Jesus. We thank you now. We thank you now. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Haven't given it a title yet, but I guess I'll just throw this title to you, this tag on this message. When you're converted, do something. When you're converted, do something. Act a fool. We get mad with everybody around us. We want to throw in the towel. We want to cry. Then we show all the emotions. We're angry one day. We're mad later on that day. Then the next day, we're crying and we're depressed and we're going through all that. When can we be stable enough to say, I know whom I believe in. And we like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, come on and say, man, will anybody in here be like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Though God allowed this to happen to me, I still trust that he will make a way out of no way. Though God allowed this to happen, I still believe that he'll pick me up, turn my life around. Though he allowed this to happen, I still believe that even if I'm afflicted, that these many afflictions, that the Lord will deliver me from them all. I believe that these weapons that's formed against me, they won't prosper, even though I see them doing it, even though I see how bad it is, even though the devil put it in my face every morning and I got to get up to this problem, I still believe it won't prosper, even though I go to bed at night formed up around me, I still believe it won't prosper. Even though I get to work and all I hear is people talking about these problems and I got this stuff in my face, I still believe that it won't prosper. I'm going to stop looking at my problem and lift my head up to the hills from whence coming. Somebody need to tiptoe and look over your problem. I need to stop looking at my problem. I need to look over my problem and lift my head into the hills from whence coming my help, from my help coming from the Lord. Too many times we keep looking at our problem, but I'm looking above my problem, because above my problem is my deliverance. Above my problem is my God. I wish I had somebody in here. You know, we need to start getting on tiptoes and getting up there, because when you get on tiptoe expectancy, you believe that God is about to do something. I got a sneaky suspicion that I'm talking to somebody this morning, that you need to get on your tiptoes and see what you can see. I know God's going to bring a deliverance sooner or later. I know God is going to make a way sooner or later. I know this problem won't be like this always. I'm going to get through this no matter what it takes. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, I'm not ready to go there yet. But I need to be committed to this thing. So my commitment is going to be tested. My commitment is going to be tested. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you know how it is when you first start going steady with your girl or your boo, your boyfriend or whatever. Somebody always, you know, they ain't want you when you have nobody. But as soon as you get married, as soon as you get somebody, they, oh, yeah, he used to want to talk to me. They want to, you know, they want to bring all that stuff up. They want to tell you, they texting you. Now you want to go out on a date? No, I got somebody. They testing your commitment. Ain't nothing but the devil. Tell that devilish woman to leave you alone. Tell that devilish man to get out your face. We ain't got no time for that, because my commitment is with this person. And it's the same way with God, that the devil want to test your commitment. He want to see if you're going to lie. He want to see if you're going to do what God said do, or if you're going to do what he wants you to do. I wish I had somebody. Hallelujah. My intention was not to sweat this morning. But then he says, verse number 32, he says, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said, I prayed for you. That, now, it's something to have Jesus to pray specifically for you. You know the beauty of that? Is that he is praying specifically for you. The Bible said that he makes, he's the mediator, he's the intercessor. He stands in between us and God to let God know that it's okay, I paid the price for them. He's there and he's interceding for us on our behalf, no matter what Satan brings his way. Yes. Satan comes and accuses us, and notice something. Satan, the Bible says, is the accuser of the brethren. And you know what? He don't come. Satan don't always lie. Sometimes he let the truth out there. Yeah. Uh-huh. But you know what? God still protects us even when it's true. Yeah. Lord. God still looks at us and said, that's all right. Jesus has paid the price for that sin. Oh, yeah. Satan comes up and said, you know, they ain't nothing but a lie. They're backbiters. They're gossipers. And then God said, and Jesus said, that's all right. I paid the price for them because they need another chance. And see, he's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Because every time I do something another, he gives me another chance. I wish I had somebody. He gives me another chance. And so he's telling him, he says that I prayed. And notice what all of this, what Jesus is saying. He said, Satan had desired. That's past tense. Then he said, I have prayed. That's past tense. Now, the thing that was going to happen had not even happened yet. But Jesus is speaking about it as if it is in the past tense. When we look at what God is saying and showing us in the text, is that even though we haven't done some things that we might do wrong, that God is already showing us that Jesus has prayed for us. He's already shown us that we, whatever we do is already under the blood. I wish I had somebody. We need to see. He said, I've already prayed for you, Simon. I know that you're going to fail at this, but I've already prayed that your failure is not a finality. Come on. We need to understand that failure is not not final. Even though I fail at something, that's not the final verdict. That's not the end of me. That's not the end of my walk with God. Even though I fail at something, I still get another chance to show that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Come on and say amen. We need to learn how to get strengthened by Christ, because even if I fail at it, that don't mean I gotta stop. That means I need to get back up. The Bible said that a just man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up and gets back in line. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We have some falls in our life. The Bible said that even when we fall in the diverse temptation, to count it all joy. Do I have any witnesses? I may have some falls, but my falls are not final. I can get back up and start over again. I can get back up and continue the work that God called me to. I can get back up and achieve what God intended for me to achieve. The only reason for my fall was to teach me how to get back up. The only reason for my fall was to let me know that you can't do it by yourself, but God is a helping hand to lift you up out of the horrible pit. The only reason for my fall is that when somebody else get there, I can look back and say, that's all right. You can get on back up. Somebody say amen here. See, Peter, if he would not have had a fall here, if Peter would not have had a denial here, he would have been very self-righteous. He would have been a person that did not believe. Come on and say amen. He would have been somebody who did not believe that God that God could give somebody a second, a third, a fourth chance. He would have been so condemning that nobody would have heard his message. He would have been so condemning that nobody would have believed in him. Come on and shout hallelujah here. And so when we look at what it says in verse 33, he said, but I have prayed for thee. Oh yeah, but God. But God has done some things in my life. I had a failure, but God. I had some things happen to me, but God. I was sick, but God. I needed some deliverance. Come on and say amen here. I had some people talk about me, but God. I had some stuff happen to me that was unfavorable, but God. Y'all got it now, I believe. We need to know that, but God, he said, but I have prayed for you and that your faith fail not. It is important for us to have faith, and I'm almost done. It is important for us to have faith because faith is our title deed. Faith is what we need, the Bible says, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to know that in order for us to please God, in order for us to bring pleasure to God, we just need to have faith. Yeah. Oh, I know you thought because you dress up, it pleases God. God doesn't look at your flesh like that. Oh, I know because you got your hair done. You got you turn your hair down into a hairdo. I know that you thought that that's what did it, but God doesn't look at your weave offering. No. God looks at your faith. Just because you have a need does not mean that God has to move, because the world has a need. There are hungry people all over the world, but because you have faith, come on and say amen. That's what causes God to move on your behalf. And so when he said, I pray that your faith fail not. I pray that your trust fail not. I pray that you trust me in your failure. I pray that you trust me when it don't work your way. I pray that you trust me with tears in your eye. What if y'all, come on and say amen. What if God don't move when the moment you want him to move? You still got to trust him. What if God doesn't heal when you say, Lord, heal? When you speak those things into existence, what if you don't see them happen? You still got to what? Trust God. He said, I pray that your faith fail you not. When times get hard, when things get rough, when the going get mighty tough, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail, because everything else is not going to matter. You can have money and still be sick. You can have friends and still be lonely, but will your faith stand the test of time? The Bible tells us that the trials that we go through, tribulation, work as our patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We begin to have faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. Oh, glory. So faith that we have in God will help us through our failures. Amen. Then he says, and when thou art converted. So when you're converted, I want you to strengthen your brother. So when you're converted, I want you to strengthen your brother. And Peter said that, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison and to die with you. You know, sometimes we say stuff in our cockiness. We say stuff in our self-confidence that we think that it impresses God. When God looks at us and say, you know what? That don't impress me because you talk big talk. Then we can talk big talk to people. Yeah, we can talk big talk to people and make them think we can whoop anybody. But God knows what we can really do. He knows our ability because he's given it to us. We can talk all kind of talk, but God said, you know what? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Action speaks louder than what? Words. And so he tells him, he said, when you convert and strengthen your brother. Jesus also tells him, he said, that before the rooster crow, before the morning comes, you're going to deny me three times and say, you don't even know me. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, yeah, look at this. He says that Peter, you got to be committed and converted. We can't just say we converted. We can't just go get baptized. We have to have a commitment. Come on and say amen here. We can't just go and say that, oh, yeah, things have changed in my life, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to make myself do better. No, there's a process of this. We got to be converted, and when you're converted, when you become spiritually committed, now there's a difference between you having an intent. I intended to do right. I intended to call you. I intended to go to church. I intended to pray, but I was watching my movie and went to sleep. We have a lot of intentions, but God does not want good intentions. God wants people with a desire, because you do what you desire to do. When you have a purpose, when you say, I'm doing it with purpose, I'm doing it because I have to do it. Come on and say amen. When it is a necessity in your life, that's what God is looking for. He wants somebody to say, it is a necessity for me to pray. It is a necessity for me to live and to do what God wants me to do. It's because it is in him I live, move, and have my being. Come on and say amen. He wants us to do it with purpose. He does not want us to have an intent, because when we have intents, it don't turn out to be anything but forgetfulness. It doesn't turn out to be anything but talk. You know how you've been waiting on somebody and they said, man, I intended to come by your house, but yeah, I was sitting there waiting on you. Why you didn't come? Because they didn't have it in their heart to do from the beginning. They did whatever was in their heart. Come on and say man. You've been sitting by waiting on somebody to call you. Well, it was not their real desire to call you. They had an intent, but they didn't really want to do it. Amen. Because you only do what you really want to do. Come on and shout hallelujah here. And so what was God saying to Peter? He was saying, look, he said, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. The problem with Christianity today is that people don't get converted anymore. They come in like it's a social club and they don't make a change in their life. There's nothing that changes about them except their clothes. They take off one type of clothes and they put on enough clothes to come to church preach. I wish I had somebody. Y'all catch that after a while. Oh yeah, some people, they don't have anything to change about them. They still do everything they used to do, except they take an hour and a half on Sunday to come to church. Come on and say amen. And I'm not trying to talk down at anybody, but we as a people can do better. We as a people should do better. I wish I had somebody. And I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about, how do we act in the street? How do we act toward other folks? How do we live our life? The Bible said that we must worship God, and worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not just coming here on Sunday, lifting our hands, coming here on Sunday, shouting amen. That's not just worship. That's part of it. But real worship is when you leave here, what you do. When you leave here, do you tell somebody about the Lord? When you leave here, do you pray? When you leave here, do you have your own devotional time? When you leave here, are you trying to find souls that are lost and tell them the truth about God? I wish I had a few people in here today. You know, and it's so easy to become a Christian. The Lord has made it so easy. All we have to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we shall be saved. The only religion that you don't have to work to get there. The only religion, this is an easy one. The only religion that you don't have to do some act or some deed just to get there. All you have to do is believe. And somehow, some way, we make it hard for people to believe. I don't understand how come it's so hard for us to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm not talking about a spiritual rise. I'm talking about his flesh, his body got up out of the grave. You can believe that his spirit, oh yeah, his spirit is somewhere. No, but his physical body got up out of the grave. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, glory be to his name. And so we have to understand here. He says when you're converted, strengthen your brother. The problem also not only is that people don't want to be converted, and that's why today some sins are not sins in today's society. Some things that we used to call sin is no longer sin because the government says it's okay to do. I wish I had somebody here. And some sins that they are not sin anymore because that people don't want to be converted. If I get converted, I don't have to be what I thought I was, preach. I don't have to be what I used to be if I'm converted. But the other problem is not just that people don't want to be converted. It's that the people who are converted don't want to strengthen anybody. The people who are converted don't want to do anything. The people who claim to be converted, they don't want to help anybody. We just want to keep building buildings. If you go to the city, I went in Kentucky, and everywhere I drove by, there was the biggest church in Natchitoches, the smallest church there, and they don't have very many more people than we have in Natchitoches. And I said, man, they're really dedicated, and they're really religious. And then I realized something. They're just building buildings. They just keep building them up. They just build the largest building they can find. One place, it got a cross. You can see it. 25 miles before you get to it. It's a cross so big, and I'm saying, I like that, and that's fine, that's dandy, but what are we really doing for the people? What are we really doing to help those that are in need? What are we really doing to get those to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, y'all got quiet on me just then, but what are we doing? Tell me, in your life, what are you doing? I'm talking about myself. What am I doing to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? And the reason why Peter, he said that when you're converted, after you have denied me three times, you got to remember what Peter did. The Bible said that Peter, that he went to the fire where the enemy was, because at this time they all were scattered. Look at what the devil is doing to them now. The devil has separated them one from another. He separated them one from Christ. Come on and say amen. And so he began the sifting when Judas shows up, kisses Jesus, and everybody scatters. Peter cuts off a man's ear, but he still runs. Big bad Peter run. Yes, he does. And then he went to an enemy. He went to somebody who he went around by where they were warming at a fire. And then they begin to say, you talk like him. And Peter said, no, I don't know him. They said, yeah, you look like him. He said, no, I don't know him. And you know what? Then he began to cuss and say, I don't know him. He said, blank, blank, I don't know the man. I wish I had somebody here. Peter began to curse. He began to try and deny Jesus, because now it tells on him. His speech tells on him. His actions tells on him. Do you know that people can tell that you really ain't the heathen that you want them to believe you are? People can tell that you really ain't the sinner that you want them to believe you are. You're trying to act bad. You're trying to tell a dirty joke. You're trying to cuss like them. You're trying to drink like them. You're trying to act like them. And then all the while, God got a hold on your heart, and you leave that feeling hard. You leave that feeling like, I can't keep doing this. I gotta stop something. I gotta change something in my life. Do you know that is because God is working on you? And all of us got some working on to do. So we can't point the finger at nobody. We all got some working on to do. Come on and say amen. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creature. Said, all things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's time for an extreme makeover. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to start looking different. Do you know that they can identify the disciples because of how the way they talk, and by the way that they dressed, and by the way that they acted? It ain't nothing wrong with acting like Jesus. It ain't nothing wrong like talking like Jesus. I wish I had somebody here that said, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like Mike. I don't want to be like Chef Curry. I don't want to be like Westbrook. I don't want to be like Peyton Manning. I don't even want to be like T.D. Jakes. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like anybody else. And so I got the standard set. That's why Paul said unto the Philippians, he said, forgetting those things which are behind me, and I reach forward to what's before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. Do I have anybody that say, I'm starting to forget? I'm starting not to remember. It's okay to forget some things. It's even okay to forget some people right now, so that you can focus on what God is saying. I forgot what manner of man I was. I forgot how much of a heathen I used to be. I've been such a Christian for so long. I forgot what I used to do. That seemed like it was a foreign person. I wish I had somebody here, because when God converted me, he changed my life. He changed my heart. He changed my thought pattern. He changed what I had to say. No longer do I curse every other word, but now I bless every other word. I wish I had somebody here that said, when I'm converted, I'm going to do something. Oh, come on and shout yes here. Come on and shout glory. And so when Peter heard the rooster crow, whenever the rooster began to tune up, Peter remembered what Jesus said, and he began to run, Peter. He began to run and repent. And some of us, that's what we need to do. We need to just run and repent. Run away from our lies. Run away from our backbiting. Run away from our sin, and turn ourselves around, because when we do a 180, when we start to repent, then God can use us to strengthen our brothers. You see, you went through not for yourself, but you went through to help somebody else. I wish I had somebody here. Come on and shout yes. Come on and shout amen. And the Bible said that Jesus came, that he hung, bled, and died. Not for himself, but he did it so that we might have the right to eternal life. I don't know about you, but since the Lord been good, I might as well give myself to him. Since the Lord's been great, I might as well let him have all of me. I need him to have my mind. I need him to have my soul. And Lord, if you will, have this old body of mine. I need to present myself before God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Do I have anybody that say, I want to serve him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same? I want to serve him even if they lie on me. I want to serve him even if they talk about me. I want to serve him even if they begin to hate on me. I'm still going to serve him even without money in my pocket. I'm still going to serve the Lord. Do I have any witnesses that say, I'll serve him if it costs my life? Jesus said, what profit a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? I wish I had somebody. He said, but he that loses his life shall gain eternal life. Do I have anybody that's willing to give your life so that you can have a life eternal? Come on and say yes. Won't God be a friend to you? Won't God, come on and say yes. Won't God bless your life? Won't God make your enemy your footstool? Won't God do it? I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Come on and shout yes. Say, preacher, I don't hear you. You ain't said nothing to me this morning. Well, if I didn't say nothing to you, I said it all to myself. Because when I'm converted, I'm ready to do something. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. But I'm here to do something. I'm trying to help the world. There was a man that was on the beach that said that he was out there throwing starfish back. Starfish all over the beach. He took the starfish, threw it in the ocean. Another man walked up to him. He said, man, it's a lost cause. Why are you throwing those starfish back? He said, look at them all down the beach. He said, it ain't gonna make no difference if they die. The man looked back at him, picked up another starfish, threw it in the ocean. He said, it makes a difference to that one. And all I'm trying to say today is, if you can make a difference to one, you've been converted. You need to help one person. Help somebody. Can I get somebody to help me lift Jesus? Can I get somebody to help me lift the Lord? Could you help me? I say, deacons, will you help me? Church, will you help me? Musicians, will you help me? Will you help me lift Jesus? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Somebody say, draw. I'll draw all men unto me. Say yes. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I know you've been
be sleeping on, Pastor. But don't you sleep on in the day. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? Come on, don't fool me. Is he all right? Is he all right to live for? Is he all right to commit to? Is he all right to walk with? Is he all right? Well, say yes. Say yes.
When you converted, do something. When you convert.